We're going to take up the Rambam in Hilchos Eidus, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Mitzvah Saseh, Lidrosh, Eso Eidim, Ulochaklon, Ulaharbos, Bishaylosan. It is a mitzvah Saseh to investigate or interrogate the Eidim and to increase questions. You know, there's certain objective requirements in terms of what constitutes drish al chakira, which the Gemara goes into later on. But in the course of doing so, it's a mitzvah to excessively interrogate them. Of course, the objective being, to the greatest possible extent, to be able to ascertain whether they're telling the truth or not. And if possible, to catch them in a lie, a contradiction. And thereby, and the end result, when you accept the edus, it's pretty clear that you've exhausted every possibility of examining it. Umadaktikin alayin means that you're very, very meticulous. You don't just accept things that a person says in a general kind of way, but you break it down and you question and particularize it and so forth. All this in order to gain a greater sense of the truth. If something is true, then a person can answer the questions. Or if they can't answer the questions, they can't answer. But the more you ask, the more you can ascertain. Because if a person is lying, a person can prepare a lie. Each person according to their ability. Some people can lie better than others. But generally speaking, it's going to break down after intense questioning. Because if something is true, so then a person doesn't have to strain themselves to make sure that they're not contradicting themselves. This is the reality, it's true. So you can be more relaxed about that. But with a lie, the whole thing is manufactured. And then you have to try and anticipate all the possible contradictions. So good liars are better at that, but generally speaking, the more intense, the deeper you go, the more you're going to uncover the uncertainties, and a person will make a mistake, he's not sure, and so on and so forth. So that's basically the task of the Dayan. This is something that we associate in America more with the police, you know, your scenes of a detective. Detectives badgering someone and going after them, constantly revisiting the issue and trying to put them in that kind of a situation where they trip themselves up. But this over here is not done by detectives. We don't have that type of a equivalent. This is done by the judges in the process of drisha b'chakira. Said that we have to subject them to a very intense type of a interrogation. Then he says something interesting. Umasino son. And we, so to speak, move them. Not from place to place. Me'inyan le'inyan. From subject to subject. The Eis Hasha'ela. At the time of the questioning. Kedesha Yishtiku. So that they will be silent. O Yachzru Bahen, or they'll change their minds. Im Yesh Beidusan Dofi, if there be some falsity, if there's some corruption, so to speak, it is conspiracy. And he says, Shenemar Vidarashta Vechakarta Heitev, that you should, all this is from the pasuk of Vidarashta Vechakarta Heitev, to really interrogate them in a thorough kind of a way. All right, this point that the Rambam did not learn, as Rashi learned. So what he learned, the Masina Sa'idim and Makam al-Makam. So Rashi said two things. It would seem that there are two points of disagreement with the Rambam. What are the two points of disagreement? There are two points of disagreement because Rashi said that this is done before we accept the Eidus. That when they first come, we say we know. We won't accept the edus here. We keep changing places. And all of this is supposed to create some type of a fear, intimidation. The Rambam disagrees in terms of when. Well, it's obvious that you can't learn. According to the Rambam, you can't taste before the drisha here. So, according to the Rambam, it's something that does not come into the picture until you're involved in drisha v'chakira. However, the Rambam differs with Rashi in a very substantial way, because according to the Rambam, it has nothing to do with place. It's a big gap between the two positions. How you translate Masiyin, Masiyin is Eidim Mimakom Lamakom. The truth of the matter is, it seems to me that if you're just going to go by the plain language, Rashi seems to be closer to the plain language. Because Masiyin, you know, implies physical movement, and Makom Lamakom implies physical place. The Rambam didn't interpret it that way, but it's more of a stretch, so to speak, according to the Rambam, that we move them. We move them not physically, but we move them from subject to subject, inyan to inyan, which means you don't conduct it in a simple, straightforward way, a linear kind of a way. Right? Look at Rashi now. Milo tanya masin, hoyu besdin es eidim kodem kabbalos eidus. That besdin moved the witnesses before kabbalos eidus, mimakam lamakam, mechedel lechedel, kisheboyin lohoyed. When they come to testify, over lahem, we say to them, lo nekabel kan, elakan. We won't accept the testimony here, but there. V'chein misham al-makam achar. Clearly seems to be saying that it's not during the course of the Drish HaKira, but it is kodem. Because it's saying we won't accept it. Now the term we won't accept it, it doesn't just mean at the end when you finally accept it. It means the whole process of acceptance. Kabbalah Se'edus is a process which begins with Drish HaKira and concludes, if we haven't been able to refute them, with the acceptance. That's it. You see, but Kabbalah Se'edus really means the process of testimony, that we won't accept your Eidus, we won't do the interrogation here, but here. So keep moving around. But once you start, the implication according to Rashi is that once you start, you don't do it anymore. Am I correct? The Gemara in Sota has this same concept. It's interesting that you have the same concept of Masiyan, of moving someone in Sota. There the Gemara in Sota, bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, and the top of Ches Amud Aleph, which talks about the fact that you have to bring her. It says over here, if she says Tahora, you're all familiar with the general idea of Sota. Sota is someone who's suspected. It's not just Tom suspected, though. She's violated certain restrictions. The husband has the right to, it's called kinui, to warn her against yichud with a certain individual. This institution doesn't exist anymore, because obviously, as you see, it's based upon a supernatural phenomenon. You have, of course, Bezin plays a role, but the ultimate determination is not through Bezin, it's through a miracle, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And generally, the idea is that he has the right to warn her, to prevent her from having yichud. Yichud is a situation where she's alone with a certain individual. It doesn't have to be even in a house. It could be any situation in which they're alone and they're comfortable with each other, that they could have relations. So it could even be on a beach somewhere. If it's completely deserted, it's important to remember these things, because there's an Isra Yichud. It's prohibited to be secluded with someone who's forbidden to you in terms of sexual relations. So it could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be in what you would call a private place. It could be a deserted place. To go for a walk on a beach, which is completely deserted and nobody would go, and you'd feel totally comfortable, even if you have innocent intentions, doesn't matter. I mean, that would be considered yichud. Okay, just mentioning that. So the husband warned her in front of Adam not to be alone with a certain individual that he's suspicious of. Whether correctly or incorrectly, he has that right. And subsequent to that, she was found with Adam. We have proof that she did indeed seclude herself. So there's a very strong suspicion, there's grounds, that perhaps a suffix has been created. Let's put it this way, that she may have had relations with this person. That's not known for sure. Procedure. That is to say as follows. If she confesses, to her sin, so then basically nothing happens. The husband must divorce her, because that's the halacha. That if a woman commits adultery, she becomes prohibited. Labal ulaboel. Jewish woman that commits adultery, and she's married halachically, she's an eshes ish, very serious thing. If anyone has relations with her, so then Well, that's assuming that she wasn't raped, that she willfully engaged in an adulterous relationship. Rape is different. That's not her fault. So then she becomes prohibited to her husband, not allowed to live with her, must divorce her, and she doesn't get her ksuba. She's not entitled to any monetary benefits. But also, she is prohibited to marry the person that she had adultery with. That's labal u'laboel. I mean, it's assuming that they did it not there, but assuming that other than that, they keep halacha, and they want to do tshuva after that, so then they can't marry each other. Now, at this point in time, she has the option. If she confesses to her sin, and we really try to get her to confess, because we don't want to go through this procedure, so then she gets divorced, but no penalty. She cannot get the death penalty. She will cleanse to discourage her from drinking the water. And they tell her that even if you sin, they're greater people than you sinned, and not to be afraid, because she may not want to confess because the shame, at least in those days, today obviously these things don't carry such a shame from those people. It's a different world. But in a sane world, this is considered to be a tremendous embarrassment. So therefore we try to get over all those things. Then it mentions that Malinosa, we bring her up to this place in the Beis HaMikdash, because this is done by the Beis Din HaGadol. So the Gemara says, Hasam Kaima, that's where she was. So the Gemara says, the Maskinula Umachtinula Kedeliaga. That we move her around. Right? Moving her around from place to place, Kedei Liyaga, in order to wear her down. The Tidag Min Amayim, and she'll be concerned about the water. We want to put her into a certain frame where she doesn't feel so secure, so confident. So part of the procedure, of course, there's two parts. One is that we try and deal with her, we try and talk to her, to convince her that it's not so terrible if she confesses. But also part of it is to physically to wear her down. When a person is worn down, they become more fearful. Like everybody can relate to that. You know, sometimes you're feeling confident because you're feeling strong, but once you begin to get tired and weak and worn down and frightened, so then you're more willing to face the reality. What happens, the point is that a person gets carried away with themselves and they're not facing the reality, a certain overconfidence. However, when a person is worn down and weak and tired, they're more in a mood to face reality. So now the Gemara backs this up. Backs up the idea that you move her from place to place. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, for we learn Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Bezdin Masin Asa'edim Imakom Lamakom. That Bezdin moves the witnesses from place to place. Kidei should deter Daitan Alayan, V'yachshubahen. So that they'll become concerned and frightened or confused. And they'll recant if they're liars. That's just making a connection. It's learning this din that applies to a sota from the case of Sanhedrin, of Masina Se'edim Imakam L'Makam. Okay? So you had the same question, Jock? Did you have the same question?
Yeah.
Did you have the same question?
No.
The question is being raised, why would a woman have to be dissuaded? Why would any person go willingly to this kind of slaughter? Knowing that she's guilty. And the answer is that it's a good point, that people don't always do the rational thing. Here, the pressure would be, it's very, very painful to admit this type of thing. So therefore, that could distort her mind, that she may think that maybe it's not real, maybe it won't happen to her, and so on and so forth. So there's many reasons. But the point is, obviously, if she's guilty, and if she drinks, and if she dies, it was an irrational thing to do. But that shouldn't surprise us. Because the question itself, why would you do it, presupposes that people always act rationally. But people don't, especially when there's a very powerful emotion over here that she's grappling with, and that is, she's going to lose her standing. It's a public shame is one of the most powerful forces. All right, that's enough for the time being. Just Rambam, Amda B'Digura, The Rambam in Halacha Beis goes through this process by which we try to induce her to confess. Then he says, in Gimel, Amda B'Divura, if she holds fast to her position, Shehita Ora, that she's innocent. Mevianosa Lishar Mizrahi, Shal Ezra, you bring him to the eastern gate of the courtyard. Shu Kineget Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is opposite the Holy of Holies. Umalanosa Bimakam Lamakam, and we move her from place to place. Umakifinba, we cause her to move around. Kdeliyaga, in order to wear her down. Achetakater Napsha, until she becomes distressed. She loses her strength, so to speak. Ulai Toda, maybe she'll confess. Now, what seems on the surface that there's a big question one can ask on the Rambam? Because the Rambam wants to learn that in the case of Edom, it's not to be taken literally. It is simply a matter of conducting the Drish V'Chakira in a non-straightforward way. So fine. But then it would seem very difficult to use this as a basis for the idea by the Sota that we move her from place to place. What is one going to do the other? So, if you want to say that by Soto we have something different, this idea of moving her, that's fine, no problem with that, but how are you deriving it? You're deriving this halacha of Masin, which you're translating to be physical movement, from the context where it's not physical movement. According to the Rambam, it would seem a little bit of a problem. Am I right? Guys with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. However, that's one problem. Now, you have the answer. Fine, you'll tell me the answer. Let's just take a quick look at Rashi before we try. And let's get all the problems on the table so we're not hiding anything from each other. Put all your cards on the table. What do you notice about Rashi here in Rashi? If we're going to talk about contradictions, let's not all pick on the Rambam. Daniel, anybody else? Yeah. All right. Go ahead, young man. Give me your name again. I'm sorry.
Nissan.
Why did I forget that?
I don't know.
Because I haven't used it in a long time.
I would say that in Rashi.
Rashi, before we proceed, Rashi and Sota. Masina Hayus Edom, She Meidim Edus Nefashos. Ukishabokino son. And when we examine them, hoyu masino samipino lapino, melishka lalishka. We move them from corner to corner, or from office to office, from room to room. It seems to me that the words are different. This is different. Maybe it's slightly subtle, but I don't think it's that subtle. Rashi made it clear in Sanhedrin that we're talking about before. Before we accept the Eidus, we say not here, but we'll accept it there, and we keep changing it. Here it says, Kishabotkin, when we examine them. When we examine them, it seems to me, in the process of examining them, doesn't mean before. I mean, Rashi could have said, if Rashi is holding the same thing, he could have said the same thing. It's clearly over here, you get the impression, Kishabotkin, when we, not before we're bodek them, or not before we accept the Eidus. And Rashi over there gave an illustration, we won't accept it here, but we'll accept it there. It seems to me that it's two different positions. Okay? Rambam, you do have a very big difficulty in that. What is Masin? What is the idea of Masin as the Edom? According to the Rashi, you don't have a problem, because he's saying that means the physical movement. You move them around physically in order to wear them down so they'll confess. So now you have two situations in which you want to achieve that objective. One is with the witnesses, okay? And one is with the Sota. Not identical. Sota is not a witness. It is interesting, because one can question, how are you making a connection? How are you making an inference from something which applies to Sanhedrin to something which applies to Sota? It just seems to be two completely different areas. At least on the surface, it seems like a very liberal use of the precedent. Because generally speaking, if you can learn something, got to be similar. All right, that we can deal with. But at least the way Rashi learns, it's the same idea of Masiyan. You have an idea of Masiyan. That in order to achieve Tiruf, to wear a person down, you move them physically from place to place. That's constant in both cases. For the Rambam, the problem becomes even more difficult. Because one thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other, even in terms of what you consider to be Masiyan. The idea that he has of Masiyan with regard to Edom, that is, they don't go in a straightforward way, has absolutely nothing to do with the idea of physically moving the Sota from one place to another, yet I'm learning that from there. That, in a sense, is more challenging in the Rambam. Each one has their problem. Yeah. I would say from a logical standpoint, to try and understand the conceptual, the idea, the problem in the Rambam is greater than the problem in Rashi. As you'll see, you could simply say that he changed his position in terms of when you do Masina Seidim. But according to the Rambam, in terms of trying to understand what's going on, conceptually it's much more challenging. In terms of the Rambam does not learn that Masina Seidim, does not have a specific type of a form necessarily. He learns it in a more conceptual kind of a way. It means to say that Beis Din was given the license to do things in a different kind of a way in order to achieve this particular result. There are times when Beis Din wants to achieve a certain result, which can only be achieved through tiruf, through wearing down a person and putting them in a certain state of mind so that they will, if they have some kind of a conspiracy or if they have some kind of a falsehood, if they're holding on to a position, and Beis Din wants to ensure that they yield that position, so they have the right to do things in a different kind of a manner. That's what Masiyan is. But Masiyan can take on different forms. But it's also limited, it would seem. When it comes to Eidos, when it comes to interrogating the Eidos, the objective of Beis Din is to achieve a certain emotional state that will be most conducive towards their confessing, if they're conspiring, if they're involved in a conspiracy. However, you can't just take them and shake them up. That's what the Rambam is dealing with. So you want to, a lot of things you can do. You can take them and slap them around, like you see in these movies, when they want to interrogate someone, and they don't feed them, they put them in a dark room in isolation, and they subject them to different threats. And then, if they withstand that, then okay, now we know you were telling the truth. Because if you were lying, you certainly would have confessed a long time ago. So why don't we do that? Theoretically, yeah, I'm just going to an extreme to make a point here. Well, that's a very effective tool. Human rights, we can't hurt. What do you mean human rights, we can't hurt? The person was saving somebody else's life over here. But person can't do that. That's not part of the judicial procedure. So what's Masiyan? What are you doing over here? Apparently, according to the Rambam, it's not a maneuver that's unrelated. That's a separate idea of Masiyan. Beis Din wasn't given that license. But what it means is that in the course of a legitimate procedure, that is to say, Drisha v'chakira, that's a legitimate procedure. So in the course of doing that, you can do it in a manner which is either simple and straightforward and comforting and easy, or you can do it in the most complicated manner. You don't have to go in that particular there. Where it comes to the Drish V'Chagira, you can go in the most aggressive way, like a lion trying to break the person down. That's where you can do it. Because you have license to do Drish V'Chagira. And since you have license to do it, there where it said, Masiyan Se'edim, there you do it in the most confusing manner in order to achieve this result. If we didn't have the objective of achieving this result, then we wouldn't be Masiyan. For example, for Kiddush HaChodesh or something like that, or other areas where you don't have that objective, you don't have these suspicions, so you don't have to do it. You do an easy kind of interrogation, so to speak. So that's what the Rambam means. So one second, let's follow it through. Now dealing with the case of a Sota, that too is a judicial proceeding. It's Sanhedrin, it's Beis Din HaGadol. It's a very interesting type of a phenomenon because it's a very unique type of a trial. It's a trial which is a combination of, so to speak, the earthly court, the Beis Din Shel Mata, and who they do the preliminary work. The Bezdin Shalmata, the head of the earthly court, does the preliminary work of talking to her and bringing her up into the proper place and the garment, what has to be done with lowering her hair and everything, and the preparation of the water and her drinking the water. All this is done. That's a judicial proceeding. That's why they have a right to learn from Sanhedrin, because it's Allah in Bezdin. The verdict over here, the Gemar Din, is decided by
Bezdin Shamala.
The verdict and the punishment and the execution is Bezdin Shamala. It's a combination of it. It's really a convocation of Bezdin. So therefore, Bezdin over here also, it's their obligation to do everything possible to prevent this from going to trial. Just like Bezdin Shalmata wants to prevent it from going to trial. They don't want to subject this person to the risk of being found guilty. You know, by the murder case, or the capital case, not necessarily murder, it is designed to discourage the Edom if there's some falsehood over there. Here too, it's the desire to discourage the woman. If it's false, if her claim of Tahora Ani is false, and she's only saying it because of the shame factor, we want to do everything possible to get it to retract from there. So what are we doing? We're using the same method of Masiyan. But now the Rambam will say, one second, we don't have the, in this case, there's nothing equivalent to the Drish of a Chakira. You don't have that type of thing. What we do have is this, a different methodology is being used. The truth is, here we're not being harsh with her. We're not being harsh with her. Here we're being soft with her because we're trying to induce her to confess. However, you do have the procedure of moving her from the place to where the ultimate drinking is going to take place. That's a procedural phenomenon. So the Rambam learns that Bezdin has the right to undertake that procedure and do it in a circuitous manner, which is intended to bring about this result. In other words, for the Rambam, you have to look for an avenue in which you can fit in your objective of producing a situation of tirf, of wearing her down. In the case of the Edom, you have the Drish HaKira. So there, it fits in that way. Because you can do it simply, or you can do it in a very, very complicated manner. That's the Masiyanus Edom. It's Allah and the Drish HaKira. In the case of Sota, where you don't have anything equivalent to that, but you do have this procedure of moving her from place to place, then you could do it, since you have a right to move her already, so no one says you have to make it easy for her and move her simply and straight to the place. In the course of doing that, Bezdin can incorporate the idea of Masiyan to do that action in a manner which is intended to wear her down.